Sex on the next generation of KGO. 810.
Airport Records brings you the greatest hits of the TSA. Songs you can listen to in the terminal. Jam out as you slowly make your way to the gate. The greatest hits of the TSA.
I'm so tired.
Song after song.
I haven't slept a wink.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did.
Take your mind off of missing your flight.
Oh, won't you stay?
While you're waiting, get your copy of the greatest hits of the TSA.
For the longest time.
Now available in the gift shop. Go ahead and get it. We'll hold your place in line.
Stand by me.
Or you could be just like my old man who says, "Son, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I'm never, ever flying again." That's it. And there's a lot of that going on. I'm never, ever going to fly again. And now, head of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, should have resigned. And the TSA dude, Peter Neffinger, should resign. They are talking about how to shorten those lines. First of all, at the beginning of the week, it was your fault. Remember all of that? You're not packing correctly. You're not getting the TSA pre-check. It's your fault. You should know that you need to take your belt and your shoes off. So, snap to it, kids. But today, they came up with another plan. He has a, the head of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, should have resigned. New plan. Let's get rid of baggage fees. Waive baggage fees for the people. Now, do you think that's a good idea? 808-0810. I think it's a good idea, but people still want to bring things on board, and I don't know how that cuts down on... remove your shoes, remove your belt, take out your laptop and all of those things. And as I was talking about the other day, things are very, things don't have to be complicated like they are. At other airports, they have this down around the world. Yes, I know what happened with Egypt Air, and that, believe it or not, and what a horrific tragedy that is. I'm not playing into this, but of course now they're saying, you see, we need to do our job. No, you needed to hire more people a long time ago, so don't ring that bell, as far as I'm concerned. But it's simple as there are other airports in Canada, for example, and a lot of countries where when you put your baggage through the X-ray machine, it actually rotates. It goes around in a big circle. And it just keeps on turning, and they can stop it when they want. Just simple things like that. You would think we are the home of innovation. We are the center of the universe with technology. You think we could get something down like a simple assembly line circle that the bins circle instead of the TSA guy having to pick up the bins and carry them forward and keep rinse, lather, repeat over and over again. By the way, how much did they – is this going to work with the airlines? I don't know. They made $30.5 billion on checked luggage fees last year. $30.5 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a wow.
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 I have to use the new Facebook emoji for that.
Which one?
There's a wow one.
Oh.
Yeah, he has his mouth. The little dude with the yellow face has his mouth open.
I saved.
Wow.
Remember last night I saved my secret warnings and secret meanings. The frog emoji, it's a way of somebody calling you ugly. The dog emoji, it's someone calling you the B word without actually saying it. Scissors just means I'm going to cut you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right. So that's the latest. They're thinking about getting rid of the baggage fees. And I actually was talking with someone yesterday in the KGO newsroom, and they said, yeah, I'd be fine with that. I just want to bring my briefcase on, and if everybody did that, how much quicker would things be loading and unloading, and people wouldn't be having adult temper tantrums.
Yeah, but don't you think the airlines would just charge you more if you got rid of baggage fees, if you made them illegal?
Brian Pelletier, I know that we were talking about that, but I don't think they would because things were so competitive since jet fuel is so damn cheap at this point. So, I mean, they make it up with these little things like, what is it, Ryanair with the...
Oh, that's the low-cost carrier in Europe.
In Europe. They were actually thinking about charging to use the restroom.
That's insane.
Yeah, then they decided against that.
Put quarters in the restroom to open the door.
Right now, if you want to be in Group A, you have to pay more. If you don't want the center seat, you have to pay more. If you want to be towards the front, you have to pay more than in the back. I mean, you know.
They would definitely look for ways to recover that money, though. I mean, that's a huge chunk of money that you'd suddenly be taking off the bottom line of these companies, and they need to run somehow, right?
At this point, American and Delta have actually stepped up, and they've said that they would actually help the TSA with their own employees. Now, of course, they can't screen, but they can shuffle the crowd. And I love, you know, I love what they were doing in Chicago, as if this helps at O'Hare. They had clowns and stilt walkers.
It's like the last thing I want to see.
And balloons handing out to the kids. I saw the stilt walker clown walking through O'Hare on television. I'm thinking, you know what? If I were to have one of these adult temper tantrums, that guy's gonna fly.
Punch the clown right in the face. Trip the guy in the stilts.
Oh, geez.
Drex goes to jail.
Oh, my goodness. Adult temper tantrums. Actually, we should move on to that because that is a thing. Listen to this. People usually associate temper tantrums with children, but adults are now more often than not catching. I don't know. I think that the thing is that we catch them now. They pitch fits. Adults do.
Uh-huh.
It's just that we see them because everybody has a phone.
Yeah.
You know, wherever there's a meltdown, there's a phone and somebody's filming. Karen, can you play this clip? This is just a short clip of some adults having temper tantrums. Wow. She was backseat driving, except she was right beside him.
That is way too much drama for me. I can't imagine if I had any friends or family or anybody that acted like that.
How could you live with that?
I couldn't.
They kick, they scream, they fall to the floor, they throw things, and it doesn't take much to set them off. Adults throwing temper tantrums are also being caught, as I said, because of today's technology. So we get to catch it more. But they go to 0-100 really, really quickly. And these adults who throw temper tantrums, they actually have a disorder for this now. They said they could be suffering from a condition called intermittent explosive disorder. The people who have this disorder cause a lot of suffering. No kidding.
Do they give them medication for that?
I hope so. They themselves suffer, and they make a lot of other people suffer when they're subject to this type of aggression. And according to this report, it looks like as many as 1 in 20 people now suffer from this disorder. People are explosive. What is going on in this country? Yelling, screaming, throwing things, hitting the walls, hitting other people, shoving.
Yeah.
Cutting people off.
I mean, it plays into the whole road rage thing, too. Like, people just taking it to the next level when they feel like they've been affronted while they're on the road.
You listening right now, it's 7:15. You left at 5 o'clock. You're still not at home.
Or you might not still be on the Bay Bridge.
Good God.
Traffic is disastrous out there today.
It really is. The Giants are playing the Cubs, and, it's downtown, and people want to get the hell out of Dodge. Anyway, now you know if you have somebody in your life who explodes all the time, this is actually a psychological disorder. They act like children. And it is treatable. Yes, it is treatable, and you need to see some psychologist or you need to get help for that.
So it's not just fixable with candy and ice cream like you were your toddler?
Speaking of meltdowns, there was in the house yesterday. Oh, shame, shame, shame. Along with the Donald, we've got a lot of fun stuff. Oh, by the way, Tim Sika coming up to talk about great movies this weekend. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling, Russell Crowe, The Angry Birds movie, and some others. And we've got a lot to discuss, but when we come back, we're going to have some fun, including I have Whitney Houston. Her people pulled the plug on the hologram for The Voice finale, but I captured it first.
Oh, cool.
Before it disappeared. You know me, people. I'm always on the naughty. Okay, so I have everything. And then the Kanye, speaking of meltdowns. Oh, my God, on Ellen. This is just a 10. You know, today was one of those days when I looked at all my audio that I had. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. You've been good to me. I have Kanye. We're going to have a great show.
The gift that keeps on
giving. And our favorite comedian, Kasim, is going to come in here after 8 o'clock.
All right.
We're going to have a lot of fun. All right. Let's take the break, and then we'll be back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810 with a look at that. I don't know if it's god-awful. Is it, Lee Graham? The traffic situation.
KGO announced a significant law enforcement action regarding North Carolina's Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act.
Transgender bathroom uprising. No telling who walk in on you. Man or woman, male or female, or some combination of the two. Don't go in that stall, you might just see it all. Keep the bathroom door in sight. I don't know much about the ladies, but I see why some fellas might get sore. Finding out when you look in the mirror, that guy's lipstick's prettier than yours. Well, don't go in that stall, you might just see it all. Keep the bathroom door inside.
Right on, right on, right on. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO. And I just love how things are so simple with our friends to the north, Canada. All they had to do, yes, the gorgeous hunk that he is, Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, he just introduced legislation, very simply, actually receiving an award for his commitment to fighting transphobia and homophobia. The Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau announced yesterday that his administration will be introducing new legislation to protect the rights of transgender citizens. I'm proud to announce that on the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, we will be tabling a bill in the House of Commons to ensure full protection for transgender and all people as we continue to demand true equality. And that's it.
They're so sensible up there.
I mean, it's just insane. It makes so much sense. Down here, everybody's head has to explode, and we have to talk about bathrooms, a complete non-issue,
yeah,
a made-up issue, a problem that doesn't exist. And it's just like the way he's going to legalize pot. It's not going to be a state thing. He promised it during the election. 66% of the Canadian citizens want it. So he's introduced legislation, it will pass, and then against every single province will make it legal, and that's it. You know, no fighting, no arguing.
Well, what makes it easy is that he's the leader of the party that has the most votes in Parliament.
Right. Yes.
So
it's a done deal.
He can just roll with it,
it's
right?
A done deal. So yesterday, we have to give the House Democrats at least a, I mean, it was almost bipartisan. Things got very heated in Congress yesterday. They were voting on an amendment to give more protections to LGBT people, and it had enough votes to pass, but then time ran out, and a few Republicans changed their vote and killed it. And the Democrats and some of the Republicans got rather loud. Listen. This is great. And we thought nothing happens in Washington. Look at this. And they had it. They actually had enough Republicans, and a lot of Republicans did vote for this this bill as well. But then three backed out at the last moment, and they went to look for these guys. And where were they? They were found hiding in the ladies' restroom.
No.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Oh.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
I love that Game of Thrones sound. It's fantastic.
I'm going to get a lot of play out of that tonight. So stand by. I'm going to have a lot of fun with that one.
But it is shameful. I mean, come on.
Khaleesi.
You had the bill ready to go. It makes me wish Frank Underwood, who's a fake politician, was still in. He would whip the votes and make sure those people weren't hiding.
They were found hiding in the ladies' restroom.
Shame. Shame.
Oh, I hear the donkey in the background. I know you watch that
show.
Was
there a donkey in the women's restroom?
You know what? The only reason people like nerdy geeks like you, Brian, watch this show is to see Khaleesi's boobs.
What's wrong with that?
Shame. Shame.
Is there anything this past else week was fantastic.
Is there anything else to that show?
I don't
want to
ruin it for anybody.
Oh, okay.
But this past week was fantastic, especially if you're a fan of what you accuse me of being a fan of.
What is that? What would you call that?
Khaleesi's boobs.
Oh, Khaleesi's boobs.
Yeah. It worked.
Shame.
The ending worked for me.
Shame.
Okay. All right. I won't let you spoil it. Let's go to the other side of politics here for a second. Did you hear this story in 2005 in a 2005 radio broadcast? Donald Trump. Did they give it to me? I'll have to look. But in 2005, on a radio broadcast, Donald Trump said he wanted to do a black versus white season of The Apprentice, but it didn't happen because not everybody thought it was a good idea.
Knowing what I know about Donald now, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but Survivor did it. Did you know that?
They did like a class-based one, didn't they?
Right, yes.
So it was like blue-collar workers versus white-collar workers?
No. They had whites, blacks, Asians, and maybe Hispanics. I don't know, but they did do it.
Oh, that seems like a horrible idea. I don't watch Survivor.
No, I don't either.
I kind of lost interest after the first couple seasons, and you were talking about the television shows that were being kept yesterday, and you said Survivor, and it kind of jarred me. I'm surprised that it's still on, but I guess it's a cheap show, right?
Well, it was. Relatively so. Let me see. This was season 13 when they were on the Cook Islands.
In society, status depends on clothes, cars, where we live, and our ethnic background. But civilization is stripped away, and status depends on catching fish, making fire, and living with people you never expected.
20 people divided into four ethnic groups. A social experiment like we've never done before.
We all feel the pressure to represent
Survivor Cook Islands.
And I don't know who won, but it was exactly what I said. The ethnicity breakdown was white, black, Asian, and Latino. But back to Donald Trump for a second. He was doing fat shaming with Chris Christie at his own fundraiser. This is fun.
Okay. I can tell you this. When Carrier and Ford and Nabisco leaving Chicago with their big plant, they're moving to Mexico. I'm not eating Oreos anymore. You know that. But neither is Chris. You're not eating Oreos anymore. No more Oreos for either of us, Chris. Don't feel bad for either of us.
Chris, no more Oreos.
Shame.
All right.
He's going to switch to Hydrox. Remember those?
They're just the worst.
They were like cardboard.
No Hydrox, dude. No. That's a bad idea. It's a really bad idea. All right. Let me see. So connected to Trump, I wanted to talk about this. So there's a new story from CNN today that staying at Trump hotels, not so much. His campaign's starting to affect the bottom line businesses, especially of those people with money earning 100 to 150 or 150,000 or more. These people are not staying. Interestingly enough, a lot of people who make an under 50,000, the 25, 50K bracket are more likely to stay at a Trump hotel, but I can tell you, you wouldn't be able to afford it.
Well, they're more likely to be protested, too. There's been a number of protests in front of Trump hotels since he started running.
And not surprisingly, the Trump travel brand, like the man behind it, scored terribly with women.
Oh, you don't say.
Right. Yeah, right. So
I wonder why.
So as he said, Donald said, if I lose this election, it will be a complete waste of time and my money.
Yeah.
And perhaps his bottom line. His bottom dollar.
He's going to be damaged forever.
All right. Okay, let's take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Tim Seek about the upcoming movies this weekend and some great ones. And also, my God, This is just amazing. We're at $1 billion for Captain America's Civil War. We'll discuss coming up. Don't go away. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810 with a look at traffic. Here's Lee.
810. Now, back to the Drex Radio Show.
Drex Radio Show.
Seven more days until Memorial Day weekend, 30 more days until Dad's Day, 45 more days until the 4th of July, and 77 more days to the Olympics in Rio, if you're going. I don't know about that Zika thing. I'll stay here and watch. Okay, Timothy Sika is my guest. He is the president of the San Francisco Film Critics Circle, and thank you for joining me. As always, Tim, we've got a lot to get to.
Hi, Drex. Good to be here. How many more days is it to the election, though?
Well, we only have 245 more days left of hope and change with President Barack Obama. So things will be changing in 245 days. So enjoy it while we got it.
Yes, they certainly will. Yeah.
I think people who were like, I don't know, you got to think now. Why couldn't we have that again?
Yeah, well, you know, people tend to take their time about learning important lessons about stuff. So
right.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah. let's get to it. So we're going to start with Neighbors 2. So we're already rising, which is pretty much a college flick with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. And I have the trailer, so I'll let me play that for you here.
Okay, great.
Hi, we're your neighbors.
Welcome to our sorority.
The buyers could come by at any moment and see their 20 psychopathic teenagers next door. We need somebody who can relate to stupid young people.
If we steal their stash, they won't be able to pay the rent.
What's the plan?
I'm going to dance.
Just you dancing is enough to distract the entire sorority?
So it's a stoner movie, and Zac Efron does remove his shirt. So it's got to be a home run.
Yeah, he does. But, you know, he does a little more in this movie, which I'm going to mention here in a second. But, yeah, this is the sequel to Neighbors, which was, I think it was released 2 years ago this month in theaters. And Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne and Zac Efron and Dave Franco and others from the original return here. And this time around, it's a sorority that takes residence right next door to Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. And the first one was a college fraternity that gave them all their troubles. But you would think that not much else could be mined from just turning the plot around in this new Neighbors like they did here. But surprise, you know, this is surprisingly not half bad, especially good considering all the humor is basically coming out of a recycled premise. And what I really liked about this film, and I think I can say this, what surprised me most about this new Neighbor sequel is the framing device. And it revolves around Teddy Sanders, played again here by Zac Efron, and his best friend Pete, also played again here by Dave Franco, who you might remember had sex with Teddy's girlfriend in the first Neighbors movie, and they had this falling out. Well, in Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, right out of the gate, we discover that Pete's gay, and he's getting married. And this initially has this negative effect on the Zac Efron character, not because Pete's gay, but because Teddy thinks he's losing his best friend. So who'd have thunk that this raunchy comedy would, in the end, kind of be this sweet and poignant and touching story about friendship with Zac Efron giving a really sweet performance. He's playing the same character he did in the first one, but in a more expanded part that originally was pretty one note and existed solely to show off his body. He does that here too, of course, but he's given a little more to do as an actor, and he's quite good. And the movie's surprisingly enjoyable. It's funny. It won't disappoint viewers who love the gross out humor of the first one, because there's a lot of that in this. And because of the gay marriage subplot and the friendship theme, it was surprisingly touching as well, and I think better than the first one, most of which I would be hard-pressed to recall if called upon to recount anything in it. But this one I'm going to remember because it really kind of got to me, you know, in a sweet way. So, Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, I recommend it.
Okay, so here's what's interesting to me about this team, Tim, is that Seth Rogen and Zac Efron, all of these people have been making the rounds, doing late night television and morning television, this, that, and the other. None of them talked about that subplot.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Well, you know, it's interesting. It is the subplot, but it's actually the framing device of the movie. We get it in the beginning, and then, you know, we get little sprinkles of it throughout the movie, and then the movie kind of wraps up, and there's something that I don't want to give away that's actually quite funny and plays with Zac Efron's image. And yeah, I'm noticing that too. I hope that wasn't spoiler, because I think I read it somewhere. Some article pointed that out, that it was very positive, a positive image for gay men. But I really think it's the heart of the movie, and well, maybe they want to surprise viewers. I don't know. I hope I haven't ruined anything for people. But
right. No, I just find it interesting after all the promotion, because I didn't know that until you just told me, and I've been watching all of these guys appear, and that's never been mentioned. So that makes me think that the Hollywood machine said, don't talk about that.
Oh, I'm sure. And it's too bad in a way.
It is too bad.
They could have milked also you know, Efron's performance. You know, I think he's always very good. He usually gets ragged on by a lot of people, but I think as an actor, he's often underrated because he is so beautiful. But
right.
People forget that he's a fine singer and dancer. You know, look at the Hairspray movie and all those High School Musicals. And when he's given the right material, like me and Orson Welles, and there was an indie film he did called At Any Price. It was a drama. He can really shine, and he's really good in this.
All right, let's talk about they're talking about the Angry Birds movie. And on The Late Show the other night, Josh Gad talked
yes.
about the Angry Birds movie.
Why are the birds angry, Josh?
You know, they've been watching a lot of CNN coverage lately.
That'll do it.
No, you know, they're angry because their eggs are being stolen by green pigs, you
yeah.
know?
That's a universal story.
Stephen, if you had an omelet that you were very fond of,
yes.
and a green pig walked in and took that omelet,
yeah.
that would piss you off.
Yeah, but these are birds. This is like a green pig coming to steal your children.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And I never thought of it like that.
Jason Sudeikis and Danny McBride also in this film.
Yeah, the Angry Birds movie. And boy, is it ever angry, that is, and manic and hyper and all those other ADD adjectives which are so associated with these CGI animated movies today. And the Angry Birds movie is no exception. First of all, and in the interest of full disclosure, despite being pummeled on my Facebook page with requests to play Angry Birds, I have never played Angry Birds. Have you, Drex? Have you ever?
Yes.
You have.
Long time
what am
ago.
I missing?
Well, you know, it became one of those things where then you had to buy more birds or things.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and that just then
but
I gave up.
I would think of it as a modern day version of Pong.
Okay.
In a way, because right. you're launching things and you have to like get it at the right angle to be able to like take out all the pigs.
Okay. Well, yeah. Look, that's kind of like this movie. It's based on that video game series of the same name. Yeah, real quickly, the plot. A bird named Red, he's sent to bird court because of a rage episode at a child's party. I think he delivers a cake that's not gluten-free or something. And there he's sentenced to anger management class. And one day during class, this boat arrives at Bird Island, where all the birds live, and there's these two pigs on the boat, voiced by Bill Hader, I think, and Tony Hale. And they claim to come in peace, but as we soon find out, as Josh Gad just said, they have other plans in mind. And, you know, the movie's okay. I thought it was exhausting overall. It would be nice if these cartoons weren't so hyperkinetic all the time and fast, and that they would take a moment or two to breathe. But, you know, they're obviously reflective of the culture in which they're being made. Is it a good movie? It's colorful. It's fast. There's some body humor jokes in it that the kids will like. There's this extended scene of a mighty eagle peeing for what seems like minutes into a lake called Wisdom, to which one of the characters remarks, oh, that wasn't so much the Lake of Wisdom as the Lake of Wiz. The movie was written by John Vitti, who's best known for The Simpsons, his work on The Simpsons, although you'd never really know it from watching this, because aside from a Shining reference, most of the humor kind of lacked the edge and the satire and the bite of The Simpsons. But one of the things I liked about the film was in its positive depiction of the notion of being angry. that sometimes it's okay and that you have to acknowledge your anger and be with it before you can move on to something else. But the movie, I think kids will like it. I think adults will like parts of it. As a friend of mine said, as long as people are going to waste time on Angry Birds, they might just as well do it by watching this movie.
Okay, well, there's your answer. All right, so yeah. If you like the game then and the kids do, then they'll like the movie. All right, we've got two more to get to. One of the big ones also this weekend, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. Everybody's talking about this, the Nice Guys. And we'll continue our conversation with Tim Sika right after we check out the traffic situation on KGO 810 with Lee Graham.
KGO 810.
And we're back talking about movies.
You're a private investigator.
My profession is very complicated, okay? It's nuanced.
That is a lot. That's a lot of blood.
You beat people up and charge money?
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
How much would you charge to beat up my friend Janet?
What?
How much you got?
$20?
That's good. This conversation is over.
Okay, The Nice Guys, starring Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, are private investigators in the 70s. And so, what do you think, Timothy Sika?
Yeah, that's a good. There's a good trailer for The Nice Guys circulating about the internet. You just played some of it. This is a violent action comedy. As you said, it takes place in 1977 L.A. Ryan Gosling plays this sort of down on his luck private eye who sort of joins forces with this somewhat cut and dried sort of bull in a china shop enforcer for hire played by Russell Crowe to solve a missing persons case and the apparent suicide of a fading porn star. Plot's complicated. It's a bit far-fetched and incredulous, but that's okay. I wanted to like this film so much. I like Shane Black's work. It really seemed like my twisted and astringent cup of tea. The best thing about The Nice Guys is the interplay between the film's two stars, Crowe and Gosling, who are really great. The film is worth seeing because of these guys. They are both fantastic actors, and they just play off each other like pros. The problem with the film is that even though it's going for laughs, it really struggles and I think in the end fails to find a consistent comedic tone, especially when it blends scenes of graphic violence with all these jokes. And the movie kind of just falls flat despite this palpable energy that's generated by the film's two leads. And the director, Shane Black's obviously really going to town in the telling of this really wild and dark tale. A lot of the jokes fall flat. The film plays weird and odd, and it's off-kilter, which may be its strengths, but it's being marketed as a comedy. So, you know, if a movie says, hey, I'm going to make you laugh, and you find yourself not laughing, it can be quite a slog. And The Nice Guys for me was quite a slog. It was a dark, edgy, black humor filled one, but it was a slog nonetheless. And I really wanted to like it. I should have liked it. I don't know why I didn't like it. Maybe I see too many movies. I don't know. But it was largely unfunny. Oh, and Drex, a warning to folks too who are easily offended. There's two young actors in this movie. They're both underage. One is a boy, 12 years old. One is a girl, about 14. And these actors are given what may be the raciest sexual dialogue you will ever hear uttered from the mouths of minors on screen this year or any year. It's totally unrepeatable on the air. And it really pulled. It was another one of those weird things that the director used. I don't know if he wanted to make you laugh or he wanted to shock you, but it really pulls you out of the movie. You think it seemed almost illegal to have them talk that way.
Right, inappropriate.
Yeah. I don't know. And you know what? I mean, I'm no prude by any stretch of the imagination. But I remember going, "Oh my God, that was a stretch." To try to pull that off. So anyway, I wanted to like the film a whole lot more. I thought the guys, the actors, were fabulous. It's just I found the movie unfunny.
Okay. And so when you were describing this, I was thinking it sounds Kill Billish, but not in a good way.
You know what? It did have sort of like, yeah, overtones of Kill Billish. Yeah, but Kill Bill had great energy, and it was,
sure.
You know, it wasn't boring for a second. The director made this other film. He's kind of revisiting the pulp comic thriller territory of this movie he did about 10 years ago. It was called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It's what I thought this movie was going to be more of, but I don't know. It's just the humor just, you know, instead of like laughing, you're sort of like, remember that scene in The Producers after they do that opening Springtime for Hitler? And instead of applause, they cut to the audience and everybody's mouth is hanging.
Yes.
That's kind of like every time they did a joke, my mouth was hanging like that. I'm thinking like, this doesn't what? Seem funny to me. But anyway.
All right. Kim Basinger was also in the film, right?
Yeah. Kim Basinger is great in the movie. She looks really good, too. Yeah, and she gives a very smoldering performance. Yeah, terrific actress, yep.
Oh, by the way, I did want to mention that we are now looking at the 30th anniversary of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, classic movie. Have you seen it?
Oh, my God, yes, of course.
Hilarious.
And you know what? Mike Tyson just did this interview yesterday at the Diego. He was on the Diego Show, which is a web series hosted by a puppet. And he told the story of his all-time favorite arrest, which reminded me of this. Listen to this. I was not going to play.
My favorite arrest, I would have to say, is when I bought a Ferrari and I didn't know how to drive the Ferrari. And it was idling. And my car went through the glass window, and I had to get arrested because of property damage.
And I had to get arrested. Okay, so then, yes, Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, it's funny and fresh. And watching it today, it's as funny and fresh and caustic and satiric as I remembered it 30 years ago. What's really weird is that it's like I just said that I remember it 30 years ago. Yikes. You know, it's like, boy,
that is a yikes,
dying.
Actually. Yes, that's a certified yikes.
Yeah, certified yikes, 30. And there was another one, too. We were talking on KGO last week or the week before. I can't remember. It was a 40th anniversary of some movie. And I thought, no, please, I don't even want to go there. I saw that movie when I was a kid. What are you talking about? 40 years.
40 years, 30 years, Ferris Bueller.
Yeah,
oh, my 30, God.
Yeah, well, rock on Ferris Bueller.
Shame.
Okay.
Yes, I know.
Right, shame. All right. I wanted to mention one other thing to you before we wrap here, and that did Daniel Craig reject $100 million to continue playing James Bond? This is coming from the Daily Mail that claims he rejected $100 million to do two more movies. He's just done, pure and simple. They keep throwing money at him.
Yeah. Well, the two things with that. Everybody that plays that role like more than two or three times, they say it's like, you know, it's like taking on Superman or something. It could like really destroy your career if you don't get out at a certain time.
Okay, well,
to be able to turn down $100 million, you must really not need it or think you have enough to where like $100 million isn't going to make that much of a difference in terms of your coffers, because when you're talking about those amounts, the money becomes so abstract. It's like, what's $100 million? What does that even look like, right? So he's probably, I think it's probably a good career move for him, because Craig is a great actor, and I'm sure he just wants to do more stuff, you know?
Well, he's made around $55 million for the four movies that he's done, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and Spectre. And I don't think Spectre was a very good film, was it?
Nah, not at all. Well, no, it was okay. It was not bad. But see, $55 million, that's not, you know, chump change.
No, that's enough to not work for the rest of your life. Cut that in half so you get, let's say you get almost 30, 25, 30 after the taxes. That's enough, yeah.
But you know, I saw an interview with him right after he did Spectre, and he said that playing James Bond is also really hard on his body.
That's
true.
He's
broken bones and
there was
had all kinds of medical issues.
And there was bad blood, too, because he was nasty after. Before it came out.
No, but really, Brian, yeah, you're right about that, too. I forgot. Yeah, and Sean Connery has said that. Roger Moore has said that. They have to do a lot of physical stuff, and a lot of that stuff can't be faked because the camera's, like, literally in your face. So, you know, I think it was probably, I don't know, who knows.
Okay.
You know, they say that even these actors and actresses that get $20 million after taxes, after they pay all their overhead, after they pay their agents take, after they pay their personal assistants and managers and publicists, that they don't really see all that money.
All right,
you know?
Tim, I've got a wrap. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Drex. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Okay, coming up on the Drex Radio Show, we'll get to the crazy insanity that was Kanye West. So don't worry, he'll always make more. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810, Oakland, San Jose.